The Lord help us to commence with hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. 399.
Thank you. Shall we read together from the Word of God, from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians chapter 4, and then read Philippians chapter 4, and then finally read together the first chapter in the Epistle of James. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherewith, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Shall we now turn to the epistle to the Philippians and read the fourth chapter, the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, beseech Syntyche, that they be of one of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Shall we now turn to the Epistle of James, and read the first chapter. The Epistle of James, the first chapter. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now to come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Almighty Lord God, by thy power, keep us mindful of whom we are found before this morning. Thou, who art from all eternity to eternity. Thou, who art everlasting. Thou, who reigneth in heaven and upon earth. Thou, who dost speak, and it is done. Thou, in whose hand is each of our lives. Thou who appointed that time when we came into this world. And thou who hast appointed that time when we will be no more in this world. So grant us, Lord, we pray, a right spirit of worship. For thou art a spirit, and those that worship thee worship in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Lord, for that worshipping of thee in our heart. Oh, we pray, Lord, to be kept, as it were, from an outward form of worship. Might we, Lord, this day, by thy power, Holy Spirit, might there be a moving in our hearts, in our thoughts, that thou wilt direct our thoughts, our ways, that our hearts might be up unto thee, Lord Jesus, that it might be our chiefest desire to view thee, to see thee, and that thou wilt condescend to be in our midst, that there might be known in our gathering thy felt presence, that thou wilt come and fill the place with thy presence, Lord, that we might feel and know that perfuming of this place with thy love, thy mercy, thy precious blood applied to sinners. Lord, that thou wilt be with us, each gathered in thy name. And thou knowest, Lord, how each one has come up into this chapel this day. Thou knowest the cares and concerns and anxieties of thy fearful praying ones. Maybe those things in providence and in grace. And so we pray that thou wilt come to each one where they are, O Lord, with that word of upholding, with that word to comfort, that word to strengthen, that word to support, that thou wilt bless. And oh, we pray, Lord, it may be, we search out our own hearts, that word needed to correct, to bring us to our right minds, to draw us from that wandering way, to bring us again to thee, that restoring of our soul. Lord, thou seest, thou knowest. We look on the outside, Lord, but thou knowest what is going on in our hearts. Thou knowest the very thoughts that we are thinking at this time. Thou who art ever present, ever seeing, ever knowing, look down upon us, we pray, for good, that thy presence might go with us indeed this day. And O Lord, any that sit unconcerned in these things, might there be that bringing into concern. Might there be that time appointed in thy covenant of electing love and mercy, that bringing of sinners into concern for their never dying soul, for what they are before thee and how they stand. Eternity, Lord, O work with power. Hear those prayers that go up. O Lord, for the souls of others. Lord, work, we pray. Might souls yet be born again in the midst, O Lord. Oh, we pray, Lord, that there might be that bringing out from the captivity of sin into that wonderful knowledge and experience of it, of thee. That one thing needful, of that one precious, so precious, Lord. Oh, hear that cry that has been sung, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh, hear then the cries of thy crying ones, we do pray, that as we come to thy word, O Lord, might it be made a living word unto us. O help us, Lord, in the opening of it. Lord, thou seest what and how we feel and what we're like, Lord. O might strength be given. Lord, leave us not. Lord, do then help. Might there be that applied by thy power, O Holy Spirit, for the good of thy people. O Lord, we pray for thou to move. For thou, it may be that shaking needed, Lord. It may be that opening of the heart, as with Lydia. Lord, thou knowest, but we pray, Lord, for thy work with power. Lord, for only thy power can break hearts, only thy power within can set the sinner free from that captivity of sin that we are born into. Only thy power can open our blind eyes spiritually. Only thou canst open our eyes to see that beauty in thee, Lord Jesus. So we pray for that work, that power to be felt and known. Oh, that thou, the Father, might look down upon us for good. That thou, Almighty God, Blessed Trinity, my work this day. Do bless this people here, O Lord, we pray. Hear those prayers that go up. Lord, hear thy praying ones. And hear those prayers for the young ones, the children, for their never dying souls. Lord, might thou then bless this people together. Be with each in the pathway that they walk. Be with them, we pray. And be with thy people where they gather. Throughout this land, throughout this world, thou hast a people. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with them. Thou who art ever present, seest all things, knowest all things, the God of the whole earth, be present with thy people this day. We would remember especially the little cause of truth, the black poise at this time, and the pathway that they walk, that thou wilt be with their dear pastor, where he is in America, that thou wilt bring him back in safety, that there might be those prayers that go up unto thee concerning him, and there might be that bringing back for the good and that furtherance of the gospel. And those that mourn, be with them, O Lord, in that path they walk through. Lord, indeed come with those words of peace in the troubled breast. Lord, bless them then. Bless the family in bereavement and those loved ones around. Bless the people. Lord, might there be that looking up unto thee. Thy sovereign purposes, yet in the midst of thy sovereign purposes, might grace be given in submission to thy sovereign holy will. So then, Lord, be with each of thy sent servants where they labour in thy name. Grant that strength unto them. Grant us help now. Look in mercy upon our guilty land and nation. The land that has turned its back upon thee, those laws upon our statute book, contrary to thy holy word. But, O Lord, thou art sovereign. O grant us grace, grant us help to cry unto thee, that thou might yet turn our land once more unto thee. That thou might yet pour out in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, that souls might be brought from darkness unto light. And O might we have that right concern in these things. Lord, be with us then. Grant help at the desk. Grant help in the playing of the tunes. Grant us now help as we come to thy word. Leave us not, Lord, we pray, whether pulpit, desk, or pew. Lord, be with us, we pray, as we ask all for thy name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day star, day spring from on high, be near, day star in my heart appear. 726.
Thank you.
the Lord might help me, I would direct your thoughts to Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Paul's epistle to the Philippians in chapter 4. Paul's epistle to the Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And in particular, the last words in this verse, think on these things. Think on these things, which Paul then says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on these things. Ponder, consider these things in your own heart, your own soul. In the Psalms, we come across that word Selah. Pause, consider, reflect. And so Paul, writing here to the church at Philippi, in that this letter to those whom he loved, loved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a depth. As our thoughts have gone to what we've just said, there was, in the fact that Paul, if we look in our own hearts, that we are brought to love the Lord's people. And if you and I are truly brought to love the Lord's people, it will be in that truth of the scripture as John expresses it. We love him because he first loved us. From all eternity, before the world was made, a people loved of the Father, given unto the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of each one, in awakening of them. That work of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the salvation and the redemption of his people. And Paul, Saul of Tarsus, as you know, that time in his life when he sought to destroy the early church, the hatred to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That hatred in his heart, that same hatred in your heart, my heart, to the things of God, to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As each one of us is born into this world, dead in trespasses and sins, what do we mean by that? We read at the beginning of the scripture, the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. We read also how this earth was formed, created in 6 days, and how the Lord rested on the seventh day. And we read also that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that which distinguishes us as mankind from all other creatures in this world is that we have a soul, a living soul, a never dying soul, that inner being within us. How many have a realization that they have a never dying soul? We look back in our own life to that life that we led, carrying on as though what we did was our own choice, that satisfying of self, thinking that we were, as it were, in control of our lives, doing that which brought us pleasure, so called. Man became a living soul. And we read how the Lord gave that commandment to Adam. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam, and we read of the creation of Eve from the rib of Adam, marriage instigated in the Garden of Eden, and that communion known with Almighty God. We read in the 3rd chapter of Genesis how sin entered into this world. Sin, that which separates all mankind from Almighty God, that which is in our hearts by our natures. We read how the serpent entered into the Garden of Eden and tempted Eve. Hath God said, thou shalt not surely die? And through unbelief, disobedience to the will and command of Almighty God, sin entered into this world. Their eyes opened to see their nakedness, hid themselves from God. Adam, where art thou? That union and communion known, now lost through the entering in of sin. And as the Lord cursed the serpent, even Satan. That promise made. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. A promise of one that would be born of the woman. The promise of the Messiah. The promise of the Christ. That one that would come to set the Lord's people free. And who are they? A number that no man can number, of every tribe, kindred and tongue, throughout this world, from all generations to generations, the Lord has a people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A people loved from all eternity. And as sin entered into this world, death by sin, as those words were spoken upon this earth, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And how the truth of those words have rung out throughout this world, throughout those thousands of years that this world has been in existence. As we sing in that hymn of returning again to dust. And so the truth of the scripture has ever rung out, that there is that time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And the effect and the fruit of sin in this world, in those outward manifestations of it, murder, lust, jealousy, covetousness, disobedience to the will of Almighty God. And that sin that is in our own hearts, our own nature, the thoughts that rise up in our hearts, those things that perhaps we say that we wish we'd not said. Sin mixed with all we do. And so each one born dead in trespasses and sins. And the Word of God also declares this. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As Paul, writing to the Ephesians, reminds them, that indeed they were the children of wrath, even as others. But in the purposes of Almighty God, as we spoke of that covenant of electing love and mercy, a people chosen of the Father, no merit whatsoever in them, all of his sovereign choice, given unto the eternal Son. And in the purposes of Almighty God, that time appointed, as that promise was given, in the Garden of Eden, of one that would come, the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. At that time, upon this earth, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of Mary, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the stable at Bethlehem, the promised one, that the eternal Son of God took into union with his divine nature, our nature, body and soul, and walked upon this earth. And we read that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That hatred to the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts of those around him, as he came upon this earth, and that hatred that is in our hearts by nature to him. And yet, as we read in John, came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Sovereign love, sovereign mercy, sovereign choice. That the Lord Jesus, as Paul writes, came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of each one of the Lord's people, when upon this earth we read of that conversation of the Lord with Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus could not understand it, despite all his learning. And you and I will never understand these things except that work is begun in your heart, my heart. That work of the opening of our blind eyes spiritually. That work of awakening in our hearts. That work of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And as the Lord Jesus walked upon this earth, fulfilled all the commands and demands of Almighty God, he who knew no sin came upon this earth as that one sacrifice for sin. As it was laid in the Old Testament dispensation, of the taking of life, in the sacrifice for sin. As we read of those sacrifices upon the altar, and as we sing, not all the blood of beasts of Jewish altar slain could take away sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth as man to bear the sins of his people, to endure the wrath of Almighty God due upon the sins of his people, your sins, my sins, past, present and to come if we are his. Trace that walk of the Lord Jesus through Gethsemane. We read of the cup, that cup of the wrath of Almighty God. Father, if be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And that walking of the Lord Jesus Christ through the judgment hall, through the courts, to Calvary, to the cross. The cruelest of deaths was crucifixion. That darkness that came upon this earth, and the cruelty of those that smote him, that crown of thorns that pierced his head, the scourging of his back, the mocking. No beauty in him that we should desire him, as it says in the 53rd of Isaiah. All those around him had fled, and the darkness that came upon this earth, as the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sins, that wrath due upon the sins of his people. Those words that went up from this earth, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then those words of triumph, it is finished. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my soul. The laying of the Lord in the grave, and that rising, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the tomb. I am the resurrection and the life. The conquering of sin, death and hell. That the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And the preciousness of the promises of the scripture, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. May sing the lines of that hymn, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Great mercy if you and I know it. And the reality of it. Sinners saved by grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And as we said, Paul, in that desire and that hatred to the Lord's people, took those letters to Damascus and brought to that place, "Who art thou, Lord?" In his blindness, cast to the ground, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And we read, as the Lord spoke to Ananias in Damascus, "Behold, a chosen concerning Paul, Saul of Tarsus, a chosen vessel unto me." Behold, he prayeth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those things which he have both learned and received and heard. Think on these things. Think on these things. That work of grace. That work of salvation. That work of salvation in your own souls. Ye at Philippi, ye gathered here, and as the scripture speaks of the Lord's people, ye that were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. That work of salvation, that work of redemption, through the blood and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would not digress, but at that time that the Lord, that voice of triumph went up from this earth, we read how that veil in the temple was split from top to bottom, that old dispensation gone, that new and living way in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think on these things. And as Paul writes here to this church at Philippi, those among it, as we read in the 16th chapter in the Acts of the Apostles, of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, attended to those things which were spoken of by Paul, those things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that work begun in her heart. So that work of grace is that work within. Oh, we may have heard and said these things many times, but do we know it? Do we know it? For none of us know that time nor that hour when we will be no more upon this earth. Think on these things. And the Philippian jailer, Paul, as you no doubt know from your reading of it to you, the reading of it yourselves, cast into prison, the beating of him, that innermost prison, their feet fast in the stocks, and yet at midnight we read Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. Saul come where we read of that bidding of Paul, come over to Macedonia to help us. It may be the Lord has given us that promise. As we believe we've had those words and a circumstance in our own life, but little do we know what it will be in that walking out of those words that the Lord has given us. Come over to help us with our feet fast in the stocks, in this innermost prison, and yet in the midst, that very jailer, a chosen vessel of the Lord, how that prison shaked with that earthquake, would have taken his life, but Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That shaking of his heart, that realization of what he was, that need of salvation. And so Paul here, writing to such in the church, that early church at Philippi, those brought out from those around. And so the work of grace, in the purposes of Almighty God, in his covenant purposes, his sovereign purposes, that time appointed in the lives of each one of his people, an awakening, a bringing into concern, what for? Their never dying soul, the eternity before them. Eternity for each one born into this world will be spent in two places, and there are but two, heaven or hell. Heaven to be with the Lord forever. Hell to be cast into outer darkness and hell fire, that burning lake where the worm dieth not. No presence of the Lord. Eternal darkness, eternal damnation. And the soul brought into concern of that which they deserve, eternal damnation. But that opening of those eyes to see, for that time appointed, that beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ that we did not see, and our need of him, our only hope for all eternity. And so these here, brought out, and as Paul reminds them, and reminds in another place of that pit from whence we are digged. And here in that reminding of them, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, think on these things, of those things that are pure, of those things concerning that walking, that following of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are bought with a price. And we're that work of grace, as we've spoken this morning, of not to think, to speak on these things, but trust the Lord has been with us. Where that work of grace is begun in the heart, then
it will not be with us what we will do. There will be that desire in our hearts to follow the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And there will also be this in your heart, if that work is begun. Oh, that warfare as we speak of it within us. That nature, that old nature in us, that love of this world, the love of sin, the love of the things of this world. And that work of the new man of grace, that desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That love to him because he first loved us. And so Paul, coming to the end of this letter, bringing to their remembrance those things which he have learned, received and heard, that walking in the love to the Lord Jesus Christ. That love to him, to his ways, to his commandments. That which separates the child of God from this world. But speak very carefully here in the Corinthians. There is that word, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. And it will not be a walking in a separatist spirit, in a formality as it were, for that's all of flesh. Oh, it's in our hearts. Oh, yes. But it will be in that desire to take up that cross, to deny self, to follow him. It will be in that love to the Lord. Lovest thou me more than these? As Peter brought to that place, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And so there will be a searching out of our own hearts as we go on in the way. That unknown way, as there is that desire to follow the Lord wherever he will have us to go. But he will also bring us to show us what is in our hearts. All that evil in us. And yet, through that work of the Holy Spirit, a desire to follow him, a desire to walk in that love to him, because he first loved us, a desire to follow those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Things of a good report. For our hearts by nature would desire those things that are contrary to these things. And Paul writing. Think on these things, those things which the Lord has put in your heart, those things which that place where the Lord has placed you, what the Lord has done for you, and bringing you out of darkness into that marvellous light. And as that witness, as this church was that witness, to those around them that had known them and that work that work of grace in their hearts, that walking in the fear of the Lord, in that love to Him. That walking, as the Lord spoke upon this earth, if you love me, keep my commandments. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so the work of grace, of bringing a sinner from darkness unto light, so that work of grace, of bringing, of calling that sinner to walk in that way that the Lord would have them to go, that way that leadeth to life everlasting. That narrow way. We read in the scriptures, few there be that find it. That walking, that following of Him, that denying of self. Think on these things. Think on those things which the Lord has brought thee from. Think on those things that the Lord would have thee to do. Think on those things. In your own heart. In your own following of Him. Thoughts went to that hymn. As Paul exhorts here in that outward walk, that outward conduct. So be your behaviour, becoming his wife. Think on these things, and might the Holy Spirit pardon what we've said amiss, but might there be that applied for the good of our never dying souls. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day, which were the Free Grace Evangelistic Association, amounted to £1,110, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Ridout hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ince, God willing, next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
Lord, be with us now. Do pardon what there's seen amiss in us. Do take us in safety. Do grant there might be that. Bring into remembrance what we have heard, of what we have sung, of what we have read. There might be a thinking on these things. There might yet be those signs following for the good of our never dying souls. So we would ask all for thy name's sake. Watch over us, be with us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the union and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both present and absent, both now and forever. Amen.